we're going to jump right into it. There's going to be some overlap from last week. And whenever that starts to happen, all I do is be like, oh, okay, God, you know what I mean? This is something you really want to reiterate to us, obviously. Because I don't preach to you what I want. I preach to you what I think he wants to speak about. So what we're going to do today is look at, everybody understands the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus at one time goes on top of a mountain and he starts teaching. And it's, to some would say it's the bedrock of his entire ministry. I can see where you'd say that. A lot of things got taught there that then later got emulated. There's a lot of references, Mike would realize, to that tie everything all together. Even some of the things he says, if you understand Judaic history, like Jesus is just knocking down dominoes that you'd really have to know that culture to understand. Like he'll say something like, I'm the bread of life. And we don't understand that, like, you know, what was going on at a supper, at the Seder, that they'd understand that. But then he went on to this, which means it's a timeline. And, like, it's crazy the bigger you dig. We're not going to do that today. What we're going to do, instead of looking at the whole Sermon on the Mount, is we're going to look at the Beatitudes, and only a few of them, in a different way. And I'll be honest with you guys, as I was doing it this week, as in yesterday, some new and wild things jumped out at me about this. But here's what I want to do, and this is what occurred to me. The rule of declining returns, right? You enjoy something, you keep enjoying it, and then it gets old. Your favorite song, okay, whatever. Oh, I love that song. Then, oh, I can't stand that anymore, right? You walk into a, same with people. I mean, that's just the rule of declining returns is all around us. And here's what we've done in some way. And this isn't our fault. It's us as human beings. But I feel like we have to fight to keep hold. If we really want to understand and get the impact of everything that Christ is saying, I think it's really important to never let go of the fact of how revolutionary the things he was saying were at the time. For example, we all know the Beatitudes. Blessed are the. These concepts were nowhere in civilization when Jesus showed up. We're going to go through it. I don't want to give my message away here. But just remember where we are. Remember Roman soldiers, the phalanx, right, guys, gladiator? That's the culture at the time. Hebrews walking around with their robes on, it's a very kind of closed off culture, very patriarchal culture. And you've got these two groups of people, Roman warriors, who all they wanted to do was conquer, kill, rape, and pillage. And then these Hebrews who wanted to just protect their culture. No. Very standoffish and to themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? And Jesus walks up and says, hey, watch this. And he starts doing things that, unheard of stuff. I mean, oh yeah, okay, you're sick. You're not anymore. What? Like, okay, we've got some frame of reference for that. Elijah did this, but then again, he could only do certain things. And he did a messianic one. A guy who was born blind gave him sight. That was a miracle reserved for the Messiah that had never been done and never been done since. That was one of those breadcrumbs to know who Messiah was. But so he does all these miracles, right? I mean, even walking on water, guys, and raising someone from the dead and all this stuff. And that's all fine. That's all well and good. But then he sits down and says things like, you know, blessed be the... So, I got ahead of myself here. I want to show us one other thing. The other thing we need to understand about this moment, when he walks up on a mountain and starts giving this teaching, is this. This was a time when the old was going to just fade away. Everything that they knew was about to come to an end when he opened his mouth. Let's look at Galatians. This is exactly what I taught last week, but from a different book and different perspective. When Jesus walks up there, the only people on the planet right now, don't forget this, are Romans and a bunch of other people who had a bunch of different gods and Jews. And Jesus is about to stand up there and do away with all of it, okay? To the Hebrew especially, that was offensive. It's all we've ever known. So what? Why? If this guy's, be Nicodemus first. I'm going to go deep today, okay? Be Nicodemus for a second, who encounters Jesus, who's a good Jew, and says, wait, you're tearing all this down? Like, I don't get it. Obviously, these guys are wrong with their tree gods and all that stuff they made up. But what about up till now? And later on in the epistles here, we get it. We understand this moment of the Sermon on the Mount, it gets explained to us. What then was the purpose of the law? Stop. It's not just us understanding history. What then is the purpose of Nicodemus spending his whole life being a good Jew? These people dying, worshiping God at the temple. What was the purpose of all that, Jesus? See where that could be offensive? Put yourself back there. Like, what are you, you're blowing this whole thing up, man. I mean, can we understand a little bit more why they got so offensive toward him? I mean, let's not demonize these people. But he says it was added to creation because of transgressions until the seed. Now, when I read the Bible, I see a capital S. And if you miss that capital S, you don't understand the meaning of this. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of wrongdoings until the seed. Oh, man. Is that not Genesis 6 right there? The seed of the woman? Anybody? We've talked about this? I just noticed this. I'm thinking out loud, okay? Because of our wrongdoings until the seed to whom the promise referred. That's, I know he's talking about Genesis 6, right? Or Genesis 3, I'm sorry. Referred to had come. Okay, so let me get back on track. What then was the purpose of the law? Why all this? It was added because of your wrongdoings until the seed who was promised had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. That's cool. I think it means what it says and says what it means. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness, good standing with God, would have come by the law. Kind of confusing, right? This is a heavy principle. I understand that. Let's do it one more time. The scripture declares that the whole world... let's keep going, Brian. You're right. The scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, that's salvation, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law. So the question was, what was the purpose of the law? Before this faith, this option because of Jesus came, we were actually prisoners of the law, locked up until faith could be revealed. Do you understand, see what I'm saying? So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ that we may be justified by faith. Stop right there. This is what I taught last week, is it not? It's the same basic thing. What was the purpose of the law? What's the purpose of the rules and obeying God and even to this day? And he's saying the law had its own purpose. The law could not save you. The law was to point you to your need for Jesus Christ. Okay, next one. Now that faith has come, we're no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now that, do you understand where that, without the help of God, cannot be understood, even by religious people? That's crazy talk. All of civilization, from the dawn of man until the moment Jesus stands up there to talk about what he's about to talk about, was done one way. Everything was done one way. You follow the law, you keep the law. If and when you sin, there needs to be blood. And then Jesus shows up and says, that's all well and good, but the time has come for all that to change and be fulfilled. And he said, now, if you want to be part of what I'm about to do, take notes, here it comes. And that's the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. I wanted to give you some context, you guys, because number one, your need for relief, people, for rescue, has been established. You've established that through the law. Now, understand that I am the rescuer, says Jesus. I am he. And now, if you want to be part of what I'm doing, here's how it goes down. And so the huge crowds gather. They've been seeing the miracles and all this sort of stuff. And he sits down and says this. Bang. He starts it off. That's our context, guys. When he saw the crowd, he went up a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him. Now, remember, that doesn't just mean 12. And he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, yeah, let's stay right. We're going to be doing one at a time today, Bri. Sorry. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I just told you that this would be very unfamiliar, and this needed to just be received. Only God could do this in people's minds. But the one he opens up with is actually, in my opinion, the most devastating, hardest teaching that he gives that day, in my opinion. Blessed here does not mean happy. Blessed there, the word is makarios in Greek. BibleHub.com. If you ever, I know Mike sometimes does. Mike, what I did was I went to BibleHub.com and I did meaning of word blessed, and it gave me some Greek. And it actually took me to a page in Greek and explained the word for me. So BibleHub has all that stuff, the word-to-word stuff. I know you asked me a while ago and I let you down, I'm sorry, but that's where I got it. So I looked into it. What does blessed mean? I'm blessed. Hashtag blessed. This French onion soup was awesome. Blessed, right? What does it mean? I got a good job. Blessed, right? Well, it means the Greek word makarios, and it actually means full of God, connected to Him, the ultimate well-being and spiritual joy of those who share in the salvation of God. That's what this means. Now, I want to get weird because we're all family in here today. I took Sam for a walk down to my mailbox, which, as you know, is, some of you know, would be like me walking Lobster House and back, maybe? You think? Pretty far, right? So, and it's a windy driveway. I love my driveway. So Sammy and I went down there. Sam's my golden retriever. And I had this weird thought. And you all know I'm weird. I'm not going to surprise you. But the more science I study and the more I walk this faith thing out, here's what I realize. God is absolutely all around us and inside the believer. We know that. The Beatitudes are Jesus' way of saying this. Do you want to walk in stride with me, believer? Do you want to know me more fully? Do you want to do what Creator Dad, all-powerful life force, wants done? This is what I want done. So I'm walking along, and I'm a weirdo. I used to meditate and stuff like that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with meditation if I'm meditating unto God. You can redeem things like that. But if you walk out, and the snow is falling in a certain way, and it's so quiet at my house, I can just feel the presence of God. Not in that weird Christian-y way. In the way where I think everybody is kind of aware of it, but we get an image and verbiage and get to be intimate with it because I understood it. I lived in a tree for a week. That sounds so bad. It was a really rough summer when I was 16 and my family was falling apart. So I said, I'm out of here. I didn't have a car, so I went and built a little plank in a tree and I lived in a tree for a week. And it's funny, nobody noticed, really. But things were falling apart and I just laid there. This down the road was this dog, German Shepherd, and she used to come up and just hang out with me. So she kind of protected me, you know, and we'd goof around and eat apples and stuff. I'm a weirdo, I know. But I would lay in that tree and I would watch the sun come through the leaves and I knew there was something else. I could feel it. And I feel like if you, and this is what people do, they pursue it. That's where I'm getting at. If you silence yourself, you're aware. And here's the thing, here's where things got weird. People in China started doing that and they called it this. In India, they started to do it and called it this. But the reality is, there is something there. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's them moving all around us at all times. Or He wouldn't have said, I am near to you. We've looked at dimensionality. But I'm talking about walking down my driveway, perceiving the presence of God. And I threw that weird phrase in there, life force, for a reason. Because something's swirling all around us at all times. Absolutely. And we know it's God. It's Holy Spirit. But sometimes I feel like we even put our names in a box, Kirk, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you know what I'm saying? But when I was walking down the road and I could see the snow swirling, I was like, wow, wait, Holy Spirit is not just Holy Spirit. Wow, like He's electric. God is described as electricity and fire. Did you know that? Those are two common things that are electricity and fire. What? What are electricity and fire? All consuming, aren't they? I watched electricity melt a wrench the other day. Just your standard socket or actual hard wrench, melted it into nothing. When electricity gets a hold of something, it consumes it all, as does fire. So all of that to say this. Other people not sitting in this room, and even in our lives, Justin, you can relate to this, people that we know are searching for something, so they search outward. That's what I'm saying. I perceive something around me, I want to seek outward, right? But the reality of it all is, you want to get in touch with cosmos? Right in here for the believer. That's the reality of it all. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't need a Hubble telescope or Martian rover. Those are all cool. Let's keep doing that. But when I want to know Creator God and universe, it's in here. And His name is the Holy Spirit. And that's what I started to understand. And I think that's awesome. So blessed, like I say, blessed means full of God, but walking in stride with that, with Holy Spirit who's walking. Do you see what I'm saying? It's His world. It's His. You're all His kids. And so there's this thing moving around us. There's a He moving around us, Holy Spirit. And this is what we want to do. We want to get in stride with it. Do you understand what I mean? Well, you got to get a little hippie when it comes to spiritual things. You have to. Because it's like, okay, what would you have me unto do today? And Holy Spirit's moving all around you saying, just get on my wavelength. I'll tell you what to do. Go talk to that person. Don't say what you're about to say. And honestly, that would all be weird, except for the fact that He gives us the instructions. Blessed are you when, walking in tune with Holy Spirit, are you when you're these things I'm about to mention. This first one, we good? That was good, right? Yep. Told you I'm a little bit of a hippie. I would fit right in back in the day. The poor in spirit. Here's what poor in spirit means. I'm not going to give you the Greek word, but it means this. Dependent upon the alms of another in the posture of a beggar. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the spiritually done, bankrupt, and literally begging, posture of a beggar. That's another thing about Greek. Greek is very visual. And so what it did, it says, this word, poor in spirit, poor, was literally crouched over, hands out, destitute, will die without the kindness of a stranger. So Jesus says, you want to be part of this new thing? The law? Not anymore. You want to be part of this new thing? You'll be walking in stride with Creator Dad and into your best life when you realize you spiritually are absolutely bankrupt and have nothing to offer. Poor Nicodemus, who wasn't there at the time, maybe, but poor religious people going, wait a minute, what do you mean nothing to offer? I kept the commandments. I'm doing this old thing. Jesus goes, yeah, but this one over here, that one who's been abused and broken and thrown out of her home, when she looks at me, she knows if I don't bless her, she's not going to get blessed. If I don't have mercy on her, she's not going to see mercy. This one over here, Mary, let's say. Mary and Martha, right? Mary just went, Jesus, please. And Jesus goes, Makarios. Absolutely. Meanwhile, the religious people, the better people, the educated people, the rich people, they were like, oh, I hate that. I don't like that. You mean to tell me I bring nothing to the table for God? And Jesus goes, oh, exactly. Exactly. You bring nothing to the table with God. And likewise, if you can't get over that, you're never going to be in touch. You're never going to be in Makarios with everything that's going on around you, with Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, and me. It only comes when you can realize that spiritually you're nothing. And everything should start to click. Because it makes sense. Because when I'm laying in that tree, the dog's down there, and I'm looking up at the sun, and we're the third planet from the sun, and oh my gosh, and then there's black holes and everything, and I feel so small, oh my gosh. It was easy to go like this. I don't know. That's what science should do that to all of us. Science should help us to be destitute like that. Brian gets me. Like, wow, whoa, I know nothing. Creator God, without you, I know nothing. This is so much bigger, right? So Jesus starts his speech saying, hey, I'm fulfilling the law. And don't forget, what does he always say? He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That's what John the Baptist was saying when Jesus was coming. Can I tell you what repent means? Because some of you got it twisted up by churchy people. Repent means change the way you think about everything. Doesn't this make sense? Change the way you think about everything because the kingdom of God is now here. That's what John the Baptist... I'm just going to let it fly today, guys. John the Baptist says that as a prelude. When you open up a book, what's this book about? The first page will tell you that was John the Baptist. Guys, get ready. Get ready. Cast it aside, Mike. The way you think things work, oh, he's coming. He's coming. Number one, empty the page because he's coming. And what he's going to write is the truth. And it's going to change everything, right? And Jesus again says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm going to go in a different spot on this. Wow, yeah, I totally am. Yeah, hold on. I hate this because then I'll forget, right? Ah, yes. When you're reading the Bible, guys, I'll give you another hint. Not that I'm some expert. I tend to think he did give me some gifting to help you guys, but what gets me here is this. This word right here. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are you, it will happen, right? This is whenever tense. Matter of fact, go to the next one, Brian. They're not going to understand me. Those who mourn, they will be comforted. Future. Do you have the next beatitude after that? Blessed are the meek, for they will. Let's go back to my original. There's is. Whenever tense changes, Mike, there's a secret there. There's a mystery there. Kirk, what do you think this could mean? Here's what I think it could mean. This is what I came up with yesterday. Posture of a beggar, yeah. What he's saying is, again, Jesus sits up there and goes, here's reality. Blessed, okay, there is the kingdom of heaven. He's telling us a law of creation that's in place. He's pointing to it. And he's saying this, those depending on him, the kingdom is already ours now. When you mourn, you will be comforted. The meek, you will inherit the earth. But Jesus just stands there and goes, part of this new deal and following me in faith is the kingdom of heaven, its power, its ability, its wisdom and knowledge are yours now. Dude, come on, isn't that a... This is... I mean, he just drops a megaton warhead right there. He says, it's not waiting for you, it's now. And here's the thing. You guys, I get the best seat in the house because I know you think my eyes are darting around, but I'm processing too, and I know most of your stories. And I've had the incredible privilege to walk this out in 5 years and see lots of people say, I want that. I want the Lord Jesus Christ and bend their knee to Jesus. Seen a lot of other folks who have had kind of stagnant or stale walks with God and start taking that walk. Here's the beauty of it all, and this is what I love. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Is the kingdom of heaven. Marie said something last week, a reference to about her working on knowing who she is, that she's forgiven and different, that the Holy Spirit's in her. Like, I won't quote it. Oh, she must be in the back working. Yeah. Well, anyway, Marie made a mention about that. I want to say this today. New believer, okay? This means that now when you're going into your next struggle, you're not going into the next struggle like you used to. And this changes everything because of Jesus, Makarios. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. We look back at our lives, and when we run across something that we once really stumbled with or even are still struggling with, Jesus just said, all the resources you need now are yours from here on. And here's the stinking thinking of it all. In the battlefield of the mind, said Joyce Meyer, is when we look at it, Amy, sometimes we think, old me, we project this idea of yesterday, AJ, coming against this thing and losing again. Amen. Yeah? Amen. But Jesus just blew it off. He just said, no. Now, yours is the kingdom of heaven. What's in a kingdom? Soldiers, protection, again, wisdom. That homeless guy, do you remember when I told the story about going to London? You guys missed it. Remember the story about going to London? I didn't tell you what the homeless guy said, did I? The dude, now, England has the Church of England, and some evangelical churches are popping up. We are a much more church culture than England, understand that. Okay, this England is by no means like America too. It's way different. And so when I sat next to a homeless guy, I won't fill in the rest of the story, but the one thing that I did take from that hour and a half conversation was that dude quoted the Bible better than anyone I've ever met in my life. And I was like, and his whole story was he was like apparently a high-end business guy and it all got taken from him and conspiracy stuff. But I said, how in the world are you quoting the Bible like that, man? I knew it well enough at the time to know he was nailing it. You know what he said to me? And it just clicked 15 years later as I'm teaching this. He said to me, he goes, we have access to everything of God, bro. It's not how he said it. We have access to everything. It's all there. What? And then I encountered Jesus saying this, and I'm like, that dude was right. How was he quoting the Bible, which he probably never really read fully? He connected with it and understood it. It was his to wield. I know that's weird, Kirk, but does that make sense? Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Do I have what I need to break this next addiction? Jesus just said yes. Do I have what I need to stop being so hot-tempered all the time? The kingdom is right here. Come in, get what you need. The kingdom, right? That's what he's saying. And again, we don't project our old selves going in and fighting by ourselves against these things. Now King Jesus just said, hey, it's all yours. If you... Makarios, okay, if you understand that you're spiritually broken without me, the kingdom is all yours, at your disposal. Speak the words I've given you, there's power in them. Understand who you are through me. The kingdom is yours. Bruce, doesn't he say elsewhere it pleases the Father to give you the kingdom? Yeah, he does say that, okay. He did nod right away, but I'm confident. This is such a big deal. The army of heavenly hosts, the Holy Spirit of Jesus himself, will stand and fight belong because ours is the kingdom of God now. Huge. Huge. Let's go to the next one. Let's keep going. Blessed are those who mourn for be comforted. Let's not miss this. Jesus is introducing us to his Father. He's saying something very profound and personal. Let me switch it up and give you AJ's translation. When you are being rocked by the circumstances, when you're being rocked by the circumstances of this world, when life gets incredibly difficult, on your worst day, my Father, God, is there for you. He's there with a comforting embrace and more power to hold you together than you could ever know. That's what he's saying. Oh, okay, so when somebody dies, I'll be comforted. That's not what that says. That's the surface, guys. What they're saying is when you're mourning that marriage that you thought would be held together, you'll be comforted. You'll be taken care of. Or when you're mourning the job that you thought you'd have, the future, the life. All these things, you guys, we're all mourning something because we've all lost something. That's what he's saying. He's saying that they will be comforted. You'll be taken care of. I wanted to tell you a story about Alex. When Alex was always getting hurt. I never realized how, I don't want to say the word clumsy, how careless my son was until my daughter came along and is more, at half his age, is better at like walking around things and not smashing his face on stuff. Like I never understood how, really, I'm serious. She's nimble compared to him and she's half his age. But the beauty of the kids small is this, they have no agenda, no motive, they just are. You can't look at a kid and stumbles and gets hurt and be like, knock it off, stupid. You made your bed. Sometimes you want to when it's the 50th time. I tell you, don't mess around on the stairs, right? But anyway, but you can't rightfully do that. Things just are with kids. And here's the thing about hurting people. This is what Jesus is teaching us. We may have grown up and your father may have said to you, you made your bed, you lie in it. He may have withdrawn because of your behavior, that kind of thing. What he's just saying right here, when he says, will, is that God does not look at us on a merit-based scale. Okay. It's coming together in my brain, but it's coming together bigger than I thought it would. This is not a suggestion. This is not a sometimes. Jesus just told you this new thing I'm doing that you want to be a part of, this is how we work. This is how I, the Trinity, work. When you're hurting, I will comfort you. And again, the Jews would go, but what about the behavior of it all? And what do we got to do for this? And he goes, no. Much like how AJ will always go in when Alex is crying or as he's crying. This is what we're talking about with grace in the age of grace. The law was being removed. The age of grace had come that we live in now. Are we good? Are we good? Okay. This is how it is, Kirk. When you're hurt, I'm going to be there to comfort you. That's it. That's it. When you're hurt, I'm always going to be there to comfort you. And I also want to say this, and I think I might have too much today, Father, but blessed are you, full of God, Makarios, living in step with God when you mourn. Yes, that's good. Don't look at life the way you did before I started talking, says Jesus. Because everybody in this room, myself included, are terrified of getting to that mourning phase. But Jesus says you're full of God, walking in stride with Creator when you mourn. Anybody following that at all? We so rigidly don't want to hurt in this life. And Jesus just said, you don't need to avoid that anymore. That doesn't need to be your fear. In fact, when you hurt is when you're going to be comforted directly by God. Mike, this is the first time I'm preaching where I'm a little overwhelmed. I know, I'm trying, because it's starting to click together. He also tells us, stop being so afraid of things in this world, because I'm going to use things in this world. I mean, you guys know, right? All things work for good for those who work. That's what he said right here. He said, full of me are you when your sister's there. And that song holds you together? Da-da-da-da, she just told you a story from this sentence right here. And actually, in retrospect, you probably shouldn't have been afraid of that moment. I'm not picking on Brenda. We all have been. AJ, why were you so terrified of when Dad died? Because Makarios are you when you get there. You'll be fine. You need to flip it. Flip it from everybody else. This is what the coming kingdom of God looks like. Absolutely upside down. Don't run from pain anymore. Don't be afraid of pain anymore. Because now for you, when pain comes, Justin, Dad's there. And that's when you're going to experience him the most. Makarios are you when you mourn, because you'll be comforted directly by God. Wow, dude, this is crazy. Told you it was revolutionary when you just dig a little bit into these things. I don't want to hang too much. I want to get through this. Okay, so let's do the next one. You can tell I could be here till 6, but Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Again, we're still in that future tense for those last two, not the first one. Ready? This is why you need context. There were Romans, and they were a warrior society, and there were Hebrews, who also had their fair share of wars in the past, right? And Jesus just said this. Blessed are the meek. Do you know how the meek were looked at back then? The meek were trampled. Even the weakest of civilization, it was okay to pick them off for strength of the army. And Jesus says, hey, you know the folks that you look down on and you never want to be, and how you beat your kids to make them strong, essentially? Well, actually, full of God are the meek, and they're the ones who are going to inherit my earth. And I know because it's mine. What? Another hugely revolutionary thing. Now, there's a lot of wrong thinking with the word meek. Meek is not weak. Some people say it's gentleness when dealing and correcting with others. I say this. I say meekness is power under control. Right, Walt? You've heard that before, too? Power under control. Blessed are those power under control. I have a picture of power under control. Brian has seen it probably 3 times. It's a good picture of power under control, right? How bad could that scene go if that horse wanted it to go badly? But the horse is meek. You ever seen some of the pens that these... That's a what? An Appalachian workhorse, probably? I think. I don't think it's a Clydesdale. Is it a Clydesdale, maybe? Is it? Because it's got the furry feet? Sometimes these horses, when you get a horse to a certain state of meekness, you don't need big metal cages for these things, do you? Sometimes you just get the crisscrossy wooden fence, right? You think that horse couldn't go, bang, and just go walk where it wanted to go? You all know, of course. But the horse is in a position and posture of meekness. That's meekness, in my opinion. Power under control. Blessed are those who do not... I'm jumping ahead. Jesus models meekness for us. Let's go to the next slide, because we got to pick up the pace here, because Daddy's long-winded today. They're about to arrest Jesus, Justin, and his buddies. Pull out a sword. Actually, Peter's carrying a sword. Pulls out a sword and cuts this dude's ear off, trying to protect Jesus. Jesus says, put your sword back in its place. For all who live by the sword, die by the sword. That's where that comes from, by the way, not Tupac. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Says Jesus. I think we only have that one. This is meekness, guys. Peter just tried to defend Jesus in his own strength, and Jesus tells you the reality of it all. And Walt could tell you, you know what a legion is? At least 6,000 Roman soldiers. That's the low figure. So that what he just said is, do you not think that I could call on my Father, and he will at once, and I don't mean one click of the, I mean literally this millisecond, put at my disposal 7,200 angels? That's what he just said. This is the amount of power I wield, but I'm going to choose to control it for you. I got to go do what I got to do. And he did. All that power on the cross. And you see some of it when the earth shakes when he dies. When the sun stops shining and goes black, right? We don't know exactly what that was, but the earth itself reacted to Creator God dying on a cross. But meekness was, I will reserve all that power for your good. So what does it mean to us? Well, it means we all have a level of authority in this life, some level of power, whether it's parents, siblings, mentors, and marriage. What's being taught here is use whatever power and authority you have to serve others, not harm them. And again, the Roman soldiers standing there probably went, what? What? And the Hebrews probably went, what? I won't do my Hasidic impression, Mike. I almost did. Wait. So you're saying the level of authority and power and all that stuff, even the authority I have in the home as a Hebrew man, you're saying I should use that to serve my wife? And Jesus just went, told you it was all going to change. Makarios, in step with Creator God, are you when you choose to take your power and wield it in control at all times for the benefit of other people. Number one, he modeled it for us. And number two, he's saying, this is this kingdom of God. And so AJ stands in his driveway and the snow is swirling around. And I realize the Holy Spirit is constantly speaking to me. Here's what I'm doing. Use whatever power and authority you have to serve other people at all times. And you'll be riding that wave of what I'm doing on my planet. Oh, and by the way, there's a promise too, because I'm good. You're going to inherit the earth. Now, We're not going to... Yeah, we are. Come on. Because you guys are hanging in there. You'll be all right. Next one, please. I believe he's talking about literally. Brian, when I saw a new heaven and a new earth, said John, the first heaven and the first earth, this one, had passed away in the future. And there was no longer any sea. There was a holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. This is the book of Revelation. This talks about what is yet to come. It is imminent. This is going to happen. Jesus just says, blessed are you when you use your power to serve other people, walking in stride with me, Pam. You're the ones who are going to inherit what I just talked, what I just showed you on the earth. Cool, right? What do we have next, Brian? I hope I didn't miss. Let's go back a slide. I got one more thing to say about this. Please. This one means a lot to me. This is the one that drew me to Jesus Christ. This is the one that he used to draw me to himself. I told you before, my brother sent me a Gideon's Bible from the Navy. No idea why. No idea why. He was attending church to get off base, but he sent me this Bible and then didn't do anything with it. He could not have known what impact that had on my life. But I opened it up and I read that. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I didn't even know what righteousness was, guys. And honestly, I've refined my definition of the last 17 years. I've never heard a really good working definition of righteousness, but I started to just read this thing. And I said, I don't know what this righteousness is, but I want it. And I started to just read the Bible. I skipped school most days to read the Bible. I still had good grades. I was one absence away from not graduating in February. But I mean, like, can you really punish me? I'm staying home reading the Bible? Like, plus, my parents left before me and came home after, so they never found out. But anyway, it's true. I drove myself. It worked out well. Don't worry about it. But here's the thing. To me, righteousness felt like knowing God. It felt to me like that desire inside of me that says there's something more. And now I know what it is. I know who it is. I get it. And I want to dig deeper. I think that's what this is saying, is this aching to know him more. And you've all had it. I know you've all had it, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't. That moment where you're like, I'm not okay anymore not knowing. This is burning inside of me. And that's what I believe this is saying. To hunger and thirst for righteousness. I really want to know. And what this says to me is a promise. I won't hide from you, AJ. If you seek me, you will find me. And elsewhere it says this. It says, right? Ask, seek, knock in the Bible. And you will find. That's what this says. That's what it says. This desire to know me from inside of you, I will fill it and keep it full as you pursue me. And I can't describe this to you, really, but... This absolutely changed my life. Because the thing about food is we need it to survive. And when he's talking about thirst here, the word picture is not... It's kind of like a deer, let's say as the deer pants. That's a picture of a deer whose tongue is swollen in its mouth, because if it doesn't get water in the next few minutes or hours, it's going to die. Blessed are those who know that without me, this food and drink, you've got nothing. You need it that badly. So when you realize, Justin, when you hunger for me like you hunger for food, and you're thirsty for the things of me like you need a drink, for right standing with me, for relationship with me, I will always fill it. And you know what I love about that? Here's the downside of sitting here for 5 years. I watch some people come, and this isn't just about church. They come, and they get excited about God, and they hunger and they thirst. And something happens and the hunger and thirst gets filled somewhere else. But you know the beauty of it? In other words, they stop walking with God. Can I just put it clearly? I don't have time anymore. See ya. And I watch it happen over and over and over again. But here's the beauty of all this. And challenge me on this if you think I'm wrong. The next time you hunger and thirst, you'll be filled again. Aunt Betty walked away from God when she was in her mid-20s. Too much tragedy in her life. Stopped hungering and thirsting for God. She found that hunger and thirst again at Stonegate 4 years ago. And guess what? God filled her. That actually goes with pretty much everything we've been talking about. Father God will do this for you. Unconditionally. And so Aunt Betty decided to come back again. And she hungered and thirsted for God, and he filled her. And he saved her. And she's home with him now. Because that's who he is. And Jesus stands on a mountain and says, Mike, this is the beginning. This is how it is now. Anytime you decide that you need me, I will be there. And that might mean a lot to folks who in the future don't like the way their kids are acting. Oh, you're far from God. Ah. And Father God just told us, at any time that kid wants to be hungry for me, I'll fill him. Anytime. But you don't know what I've, the things that I've seen? No, I just made you promise. This is the way it is. I'm just telling you truths, says Jesus. Beatitudes are awesome, and we've only done like three of them, right? Man, to think I used to just skim through these things and go, that's nice. Blessed are the poor. They never get anything, right? That's how I used to be. That's not it at all. All right, let's skip through this. All right. Next one, please. We covered this last week. I'll touch on it real quick. We literally looked at this last week, and I made everybody say, from God, through faith in Christ to all. Beautiful. And that's what he's saying about this righteousness. And you hunger and thirst for righteousness, it's going to be there. Righteousness is through Christ Jesus. But I didn't this, blah, blah. If you come from a works-based mentality, you won't need to read this again. Good standing with God comes from God, not you. Good standing with God comes from God, not you. Through faith in Jesus to all. No matter what they've done, good standing with God comes from God through faith in Christ, Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Prison ministry built on this. Well, I just can't see how those people. I know somebody who read The Shack couldn't finish The Shack because she didn't want to think that the guy who would do that could be forgiven. Can I tell you something? There's very few things in your faith system that stand the chance to blow it all up, and that's one of them. If you can't understand that the worst people who've walked this planet can be saved, then you're going to doubt your own later, too. We don't get a say in this. I'm going to be really. Pol Pot, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini. Come to peace with this. If at any time, this applies to them, too. It has to. It has to. Righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Could somebody who did all that be made right with God? I got news for you. I think you have to get to the point where you say yes. Because otherwise, it's just not going to work. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I just don't like that. Well, you don't have to. Mike referenced the parable of the workers. Some workers work all day for the shilling they were promised. Some work half the day. Some work only an hour. And they say, that's not fair. And God goes, none of your business. End of story. Do you understand that? In other words, some of these things, we don't have to like it. It's the way it is. Anyone can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. It is never too late. Even the people we hate most in the world, not our business. Understand? That's the righteousness coming. Last one, real quick. I know. We've got stuff to do. Merciful. They'll be shown mercy. Okay. The last thing I'll say is this. Okay. Full of God, really in tune with Him and all that comes with it, are you when you show mercy? That's what I'm doing all the time. What does merciful look like? I wanted to do this because this is the practical part. Merciful might be this. Don't send that text. You know what this is. This is Holy Spirit moving. Don't give that dirty look. Don't do that. Show mercy. You want to be part of what I'm doing? Want to be full of me? In step with what I'm... What's your will for me? My will for you is to be merciful. Don't say that to her. Ugh. Don't say that to him. That's mercy. Let's not church this up. You don't have to start a foundation about benevolence. This is merciful to your wife, to your kids, to your coworkers. If you know... Reference that with the previous one, which is we all have a level of authority and power and wield it under submission. Put these two together. Show mercy at all times. Well, what's mercy? Not giving someone what they deserve. And I'm feeling really convicted up here right now. Because someone comes at me the wrong way, I make sure they know about it. They deserve it. So therefore, and Jesus just said, want to walk in stride with me? Let them off the hook. Yeah, mercy is, have mercy on me, I'm guilty. When people wrong you, you want to walk in stride with me and be part of this new kingdom? Show mercy. And of course, we have the promise that we'll be shown mercy. I can't tell you exactly what that means. And I won't lie to you up here. I don't know what that means. Because it can't just mean we'll be shown mercy by God. It can't mean that. Because he already talked about right standing with God. It can't just mean, hey, if you're merciful with other people, then and only then will God be merciful with you. It can't mean that. It can't mean that. But a lot of people think it does. Oh, but it can't. Because we already have the posture of a beggar, full of God, makarios, in righteousness. It can't mean this. So I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. Give me some time. Maybe it means that God in some way will make sure that others show us mercy. I don't know. Maybe that's what it means. Is he able to do that? Yeah. But I can't really tell you what that means. But I will tell you this. If you want to walk in step with God, this is how we do it. So, let me see if I have any final thoughts as a wrap up. I doubt it. As we're living life this week, guys, let's make it our aim to remember and walk out the truths that when we mourn or face hardships, we're promised to be comforted. Level of power and authority we have, we're commanded to keep it under control, to use it for good and to serve others. As we pursue God, as we hunger and thirst for him, we're promised to be satisfied. And if we want to go deeper in his faith, he'll never leave us wanting, nor the people we love the most. He'll answer our call. And finally, we have to understand, it is always God's will that we show mercy. Jesus came to show us a better way to do life, to have a better life, and this is the roadmap. This is exactly it. And the last thing is, go read the rest of the Beatitudes. There's how many more? A couple more. Go read them. We don't have time. That's what you could do this week. Matthew 5. Go finish it off. And when you do that, step one, Father, can you give me wisdom as I read this? What do you want to show me? Don't ever walk in the Bible by itself. This is not Huck Finn. Holy Spirit will speak to you exactly what he wants you to know. And then finish the Beatitudes. It'll take you probably 5 minutes, not even, maybe three. There's only a few left. What do those mean in my life? There's my challenge for you today, this week. So let's sing a song. Brian, what are we going to sing?
Count the stars and you call them by name. The skies proclaim, God, you reign. Your glory shines. You teach the sun when to bring a new day. Creation sings, God, you reign. God, you reign. God, you reign. Forever and ever, God, you reign. You part the sea. My song remains, God, you reign. You hold my life, you know my heart, and you call me by name. I live to say, God, you reign. Yes, you do, Lord, you reign. God, you reign. God, you reign. Forever and ever, God, you reign. Let's sing that again. God, you reign. God, you reign. In every area of my life, God, you reign. Thank you. going to be afraid of the future. We trust you.
Hallelujah.
Because of who you are.
Hallelujah.
What wells up inside of us.
Hallelujah.
We have to worship you.
Hallelujah.
You're so good, Lord.
Lord Jesus, for all you've done and all you are. You are worthy, Father. You are the King, Lord Jesus. Father, help us to soak in what was said today, Lord God. Help us to be shaped and molded by you, Holy Spirit. Help us to understand this kingdom of yours, Lord Jesus, and to walk in stride with it. And above all that, Father God, not above all that, but alongside of that, Father God, help us to walk in confidence because of who you've made us to be. And ours is the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father. Show us specifically where we need to appropriate that this week. That ours is the kingdom of God right now. Oh, Father, how our lives could and how you want our lives to change with that understanding. We thank you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We love you so much. Amen. All right, everybody. Have a great week.
I can see you.